were the words that came out of my seven-year-old son, who is almost 16 now. He was 7 years old, and he said he was so excited he could smash a window. And what had happened was we were playing music very loudly in the car, which is very common in our household. And he just loved the music. Everybody was singing, everyone was excited. And as soon as my husband Stephen parked the car, that's what he said. We just looked at each other, and I remember saying, we should never let him have alcohol. Because if that's how he is with just music, imagine what will happen when he's got alcohol in his system. I need the next slide, please. Okay, I've got woohoo, amazing, hallelujah, yippee, booyah, heish, oh yeah. These are just a few words that I found to describe excitement. I'd really love it to be interactive this morning. So can you tell me some other words you use to show excitement? Anything that I haven't mentioned?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Eddie. Hooray. Anything else?
Yes. Wow.
Pardon?
Yes.
Yes, yes, that's another one.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Yes, that's actually nice. One of my favorites. Next. Nothing? Do you guys not get excited about anything?
I'm never excited.
Okay, well, today is an exciting day. In case you're writing notes, the title of my message today is From the Cross to the Empty Grave. What's the big deal? You may have asked yourself that question at some point, and certainly for others, there's a limited understanding of what's Good Friday all about, what's Easter Sunday about, what's the big deal? Some people think it's about chocolates. Certainly we have lots of those, and some think it's about the Easter Bunny. I actually took a picture with one yesterday in the mall. Very exciting moment for me. One thing we do know is that in the Christian calendar, this is one of the most significant events. Very important. I hope this morning to shed a bit of light into why it is so important. What's the excitement about? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we made it here this morning. We are grateful that you are available to us. Father, I pray that you may open up our eyes that we may see, and open up our ears that we may hear what the big deal is about Easter Sunday. Touch our hearts and open our minds for transformation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. While Good Friday is a time of reflection on the death of Christ, Easter Sunday is a time of celebration. I, however, think it's very important to note that the Lord Jesus did not die 3 days ago. And he did not rise today. Today is an anniversary of the events that happened many years ago. So we're actually recognizing a moment in time. A significant event that marked a turning point for us as Christians, believers. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1 to 6, it reads, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Who will roll the stone from the entrance of the womb? That question made me think about what it must have been like for these women. In my lifetime, I've never been so aware of death as much as I have been in the last 12 months. Not just because of COVID-19 and the devastation that it's brought to our world, but also because of loss of loved ones in my own family. It's been a time of grief and loss, a time of confusion, and a time of deep sadness. I'm sure many of you can relate that when there's a death and a funeral pending, it often requires a lot of effort for those who are mourning. Funeral arrangements, from food, caskets, the eulogy, death certificates, to name a few. It can be emotionally draining. Can we relate with that? Can we relate?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? It can be draining. These women had experienced life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he was dead. They had bought spices in order to prepare his body for burial. Their last act of devotion. I can only imagine that asking that question was just one of many questions that they had as they walked towards the tomb. The stone was actually an obstacle they needed to overcome as it interrupted their devotion to their Lord. Imagine, though, the shock to their system when they arrived and realized that there was no need. All along, they were on their way to the tomb and they're wondering, how on earth are we going to deal with this obstacle? Not trying to be sexist, but it says there were women there and it was a large stone. So chances are it was just going to be a big job for these three women, or however many they were, to try and move that large rock. So the shock to the system that there was no need, they no longer had the unnecessary burden of working out how they were going to deal with this thing that stood between them and their Christ. The first part of Mark chapter 16 verse 6 says, they were told by this young man that was there, don't be alarmed. Now, not only was the body missing, but the grave was empty, and they are told, don't be alarmed. I don't know about you, but if I went to a funeral and I went to pay my last respects and I walked over to the coffin or casket and there was no body in there, I'll probably faint. What would you do? What would you do? But what we hear is this. We hear a different message. It says, remain calm, cool, and collected. Don't be alarmed. Why though? Why should we remain calm in the midst of confusion? Because that's what it was for them. Why should we remain calm in the midst of scary situations? Because this is what it was. And why remain calm with the puzzles of life? The second part of Mark chapter 16 says, this is what they were told. I love this part. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The first reason to remain at peace is the recognition that there was a stranger where the tomb was, who somehow had information about who they were looking for. Jesus. His background, the Nazarene. How he had died, crucified, and what had happened to him. He is not here, he has risen. This told me one thing and one thing only, that this was clearly as supernatural events. The calmness comes in understanding that if it is a supernatural event, then it is coming from a higher authority, something bigger than ourselves. Therefore, God was in charge in this situation. God is in charge in your situation, regardless of the fear you may feel, regardless of the confusion you may be experiencing, because we are all going through different things right now. At any given time, as followers of Christ, we're going through something, and at times we may feel like nobody gets it. It can feel like you're the only one that's going through it. But this story tells us that God sends the supernatural events, and that symbolizes a higher authority. The Bible says his ways are not our ways, and his ways are higher. In Luke 24, verse 4 to 6, it reads, "While they were wondering about this," now this is a different version of the same event. In the book of Mark, it talks about one man. In the book of Luke, it talks about the two men. Let's not focus on that. "While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning," supernatural, "stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee.'" Essentially, they were saying, do not look for life in dead circumstances. Look to the word he gave and the promise that he made. He had told them that he would rise again, and he did. I wonder for you this morning, are you holding on to dead things? Things of the past which do not serve you? In particular, I wonder about unforgiveness. Because you cannot find freedom in your life until you forgive some people. Sometimes we wonder why we feel stuck. Unforgiveness is a very big reason why sometimes we feel like our situation is dead. And one thing I want to say about unforgiveness is forgiveness is not about the other person. Because sometimes the other person has moved on with their lives. Forgiveness is about you. I once heard it said that not forgiving is drinking poison and expecting it to kill the other person. John 20 verse 17 says, "Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," referring to himself, "will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." We serve a living God who stays true to his word. Everything that Jesus Christ ever said about himself happened. When it says he is risen, it implies something. Now this is where you help me. What does it imply if it says he is risen? Pardon? He's alive? Yes? What's another way of putting it? Pardon?
He was dead.
He was dead? Yep.
A different state from before.
Yeah, all those answers are correct, but this is the one I was looking for. When it says he is risen, it implies he is no longer dead. He overcame death. You see, if the Lord Jesus Christ had died for our sins on the cross, and remained dead, we would not be able to gain the extra benefits that come with having a resurrected Christ and a living God. I just wonder, are you struggling to face tomorrow? Are you full of fear and confusion? Are you unsure of the future and wondering what's the point of life? I believe there's a few yeses here, and I'm not going to ask you to tell, you know, raise up your hand, but statistically there's always someone. If you are that person who is afraid and wondering and thinking there's no point, don't be. There's a beautiful song that was written. Because he lives, what happens? Okay, now this is where you're going to help me now, because I am going to sing a few of those lyrics. And you're going to help me. So let's go. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love. He and for me. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I now what? Mark chapter 16 verse 14 to 20 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. What I'm hearing is this, but wait, there is more. That's what I'm hearing. But wait, there is more. It's not just enough to remember the death of Christ on the cross and celebrate his resurrection. Nor is it enough to be excited that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I'm hearing that we have a role to play. You must go. The more is that you must share the gospel. The good news of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection to all the world. Now that can sound quite scary for a lot of people when we think about the world, when we think about sharing the gospel, because we all have different personalities, but it's not about personalities. We all have life experiences. It's not even about experiences. It's about how Christ empowers us to do the work. One of the things you hear little kids being told is this: share. Because sharing is caring.
Really?
That's what we say to little kids. And that's what I'm saying to us. Share. Because sharing is caring. It's great to celebrate. It's even better to share. Because the more, the merrier. The more, the merrier. I have one question for you. What would happen if we would walk around as if we knew something that others didn't know? Something worth celebrating every day. Not just once a year. Something that could change somebody's life. Something that could bring peace, joy, unconditional love into someone's life. What would happen if we walked around like that? The thing is, we do. We do know something. We do know someone. 11 words. Jesus Christ. I had to count those words a few times just to make sure I didn't get it wrong. Jesus Christ is 11 words.
I think she means
lettuce.
Right?
Lettuce. Yes. I got that bit wrong. Because he is risen, the stone's been rolled away. The stone was rolled away because he had risen. That's what the big deal is. That's what the big deal is. And that's the message we can carry as followers of Christ. And that's the message we are to go out there and share. Because when we do that, that's real love. That's real love.
That's the big deal.
As I finish up, please, I'll just get the keyboard or the band to just come up. I know a few people are hungry, a lot of people, I know I am. Can't wait to go and see what's out there. But I just want to reflect on this. There's two types of people this morning. Now, for those of you who have never found a reason to celebrate every day, despite the storms of life, because that's the difference that comes with being a Christian, a follower of Christ, is that you celebrate, you have joy, despite the storms of life. Those burdened, there's some people who are burdened. That's the second group of people. People who are burdened despite having had an encounter with Christ. As Christians, like any human being, we go through our ups and downs. So I would like to just encourage us. I would like to give us an opportunity to connect with the one who defeated death in all its ways and can help carry the burden. One who is worth every shout, every woo-hoo, every yippee, every yahoo. Church, with every eye closed, every head bowed, let's just pray this together.